You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The coronavirus pandemic has created financial challenges for people across our state and across the country. In Illinois alone, about 130,000 people have filed for unemployment benefits in the last few weeks. Many more have been unable to file claims because of the overwhelming demand. Whether you're figuring out how to pay your rent or mortgage while not working or having to pay more for health care out of pocket, this is an uncertain time for a lot of people. Both local and federal governments are looking at ways to help. Yesterday, the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation announced help for consumers struggling to make payments on their debts. On the federal level, Congress has passed, and the president signed on Friday, a roughly $2 trillion, that's trillion with a T, $2 trillion coronavirus response bill intended to speed up relief across the American economy. For more on what all this means, we're joined now by Annie Logue, a lecturer at the University of Illinois at Chicago and an author of a number of books in the Four Dummies series about finances, including Day Trading for Dummies. Also on the line with us is Ben Harris. He's a visiting professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Ben is also the former chief economist to Vice President Joe Biden. Annie, Ben, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
And just a reminder, you can always join the conversation. How have you been financially affected by the coronavirus? Please give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21STShow. Ben, I'd like to begin with you. I wonder if you could talk more about the effect the coronavirus pandemic has had on the economy as a whole. I realize it's maybe difficult to quantify, but what are some of the different ways we can see it?
So there are two different things we can talk about. We can talk about a lot of things, but one of the obvious effects has been that a lot of people are losing jobs. And so you just mentioned last week we heard that from the week prior, there were 3.3 million new claims for unemployment insurance. This is unprecedented. In many states, you saw more than 1,000% increase in people applying for unemployment insurance. We expect a similar number to come out on Thursday for last week. This means about 6, 7, 8 million new people will find themselves on unemployment insurance relative to a few weeks ago. And our country has never experienced this type of massive increase in people that are out of work. This is almost unfathomable to economists. And I think we're finding that our unemployment insurance systems are not well equipped to handle this type of influx. States are scrambling. The federal government has allocated more money, but there just isn't the capacity there to deal with all the people who are out of work. The second thing is that we're seeing increasingly dire forecasts for the first half of this year. So when we were first concerned about the coronavirus, Goldman Sachs came out with a projection of what we would see with second quarter GDP growth. So how would our economy respond in the second quarter? Their initial estimate was minus 6%, then they went up to minus 24%. They recently came out with an estimate which puts the GDP decline in the second quarter at over minus 30%. So the situation is growing more and more dire, at least for the first half of this year. But the good news is that we expect, at least at this point today, we expect a pretty robust bounce back. And so there is sort of a silver lining to all this, which is as bad as the recession is going to be right now, most forecasters expected to bounce back pretty quickly.
Annie, I wonder if people, so we heard Ben talking there about the sort of the economic dislocation that's happening. I wonder, are people at all different socioeconomic levels being affected?
It's interesting because it seems to be hitting a lot of people in the middle a little more than at the ends, which is a little unusual. But the fact of the matter is there's still huge demand for delivery jobs, driving jobs, basic healthcare, low-level healthcare jobs. There's actually huge demand for all healthcare jobs right now, but most people don't have the training to take the middle or high-level jobs. But and at the same time, people with more elite jobs can often continue to work from home. It's a lot of people in sort of these technical managerial jobs that require them to be on site, that require some education, but not necessarily an enormous amount of education. Those are the ones that seem to be hit right now. But again, we won't know all of this until all the claims come through, because this is all so very new. We really haven't seen anything like this before.
Yeah, and like you're saying, and we heard earlier that there are probably claims we don't even know about, because particularly in Illinois, there were so many problems with people getting on and trying to file them. If you want to join our conversation, please give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us, 21STShow. Annie, in past conversations we've had about personal finance, we've talked about the importance of having some sort of emergency fund. But it seems like now might be one of those times when people might be having to dip into some of that money. Is that wise? Is that prudent?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the kind of extreme situation that might not be your absolute first response, but I think it's a valid response, especially as people are waiting for unemployment benefits to kick in, or waiting for their employers to benefit from the new Payroll Protection Act or payroll protection component of the CARES Act. It's possible that a lot of people who are unemployed will be called back fairly quickly, but it's going to take a little bit of time for their employers to apply for the loans and get the funding. So this would be a time to hit into your savings. My main advice would be to look at your retirement savings last. Don't touch that money unless you're absolutely at the point where you can't feed your children otherwise, because the tax penalties and the financial cost of touching that money is so great. The hope is that everyone will be back to work and thus able to retire at some point in the future. So think more about more liquid forms of money that you might have.
Well, Ben, we just heard from Annie there that, you know, if you need to dip into savings, that's one thing, but make retirement money dipping into that a last resort. Ben, can people think about even trying to save money at a time like this? And do you have any advice for how people might even consider doing that, or at least how they prioritize their spending at a time like this?
So, you know, this doesn't feel like the moment to save. But, you know, on the flip side, we've seen analysis that show roughly a third of jobs can be done at home. And there's still some people working out in the real economy, as Annie mentioned, doing deliveries and performing other essential services. And so if you're still getting a paycheck, I don't see any reason to stop saving and maybe even save a little more right now if you've taken care of your essentials. From a policy perspective, I think that people should be aware that there are a few different stages of the government response. And we're sort of at the worst stage right now, where money has been allocated. We had a $2.2 trillion CARES Act, as you mentioned. And just for context, in 2008, when we saw the worst recession in a generation, the Recovery Act was $800 billion. So it was roughly a third of the act that was passed a few days ago. And that act provides widespread support for people who are unemployed, for small businesses, for large businesses, for hospitals. It takes a while for that money to make its way through the system. We probably should have been better prepared. It probably should have been passed faster. But the fact of the matter is the cavalry's coming. So for right now, if you're unemployed and you're waiting for your unemployment benefits, which, by the way, are going to be $600 higher than they would have been before the CARES Act was passed, now is the worst time. And in a few weeks, small businesses will be able to get their loans. As Annie mentioned, we might see some people come back on payrolls as that money starts flowing to small businesses. People get their unemployment insurance checks. So the cavalry is coming. So now is really the worst time, and households have just got to do whatever they can to make it through. But things are going to start looking up, I think.
Well, you mentioned the business aspects of the CARES Act and the unemployment insurance. Is there anything else just for, you know, sort of everyday people that they should be looking for? And if so, what can they expect out of that?
Well, there's money for hospitals. and there are money for large businesses. And I know that doesn't mean a lot for everyday people, but the other big component for households is the stimulus check. And people have probably read about it or heard about it. The nuts and bolts are it's $1,200 per person, $500 per dependent. There is a phase out range. So if you're single and you're making more than $75,000 a year, or if you're married and you're making more than $150,000 a year, you won't get the whole check. But the thing that people should really know, and I think a lot of people are waiting on that check for support, is that for a small number of people, if you didn't file income taxes in 2018 or 2019, or if you did file and you had a different address on file with the Internal Revenue Service, you're going to have to take some steps to make sure you get that money. So if you haven't filed an income tax return in 3 years, you need to go out and file an income tax return just to get that money. And if you have the wrong address on file with the IRS, you need to correct that, because I know a lot of people are waiting for that money to come through.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been speaking with Ben Harris. He's a visiting professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management, and also Annie Logue. She's a lecturer at the University of Illinois Chicago, and they've been offering analysis about how the coronavirus has affected our economy and tips about what we can do in this financially stressful time. If you have questions for them, want to share how you've been financially affected by the coronavirus, please give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21ST Show. Annie, getting back to the sort of personal finances, what should people do if they're worried about being able to make a payment, like on their credit card, for example?
A lot of economists are watching tomorrow very closely, because that's when payments start coming due on the monthly cycle. The first thing I would do is accept the fact that this might be frustrating, trying to get through on the phone or trying to get a straight answer, because there's been a lot of changes and there's a lot of things up in the air. I would say that you need to call everybody to whom you owe money if you don't think you can make your full payment, and explain the situation and ask for some kind of forbearance or waiver of a late fee. And the reason that I'm stressing that you need to be patient is those are not easy calls to make, and you're going to be stressed and the person on the other end of the line is going to be stressed. And so a really, really basic tip is to just write out a few notes about what you want to make sure you say when you make the call, because that will help you control your emotions, because it's going to be stressful. I mean, we're hearing stories about people trying to apply for unemployment and they can't get through and they can't get through. And that's got to be so, so frustrating. But make the call. Call your landlord, call your bank, say, this is my situation, you know, and they, in most cases, do not want you to, you know, they know this is a short-term situation. They don't want you to go bankrupt on them. They don't want you to go dark. Their understanding is that when this economy turns back on, many people will have their jobs back, that once these stimulus programs kick in, people will have income again. In the state of Illinois, the governor has already said that landlords are not allowed to evict you. Many landlords are, I'm hearing anecdotal evidence that landlords are willing to accept, waive payments or take partial payments. Again, I can't speak for all landlords because that's all anecdotal, but be upfront, tell them what's going on. If you can pay part of your bill, it's better to pay part than nothing. But again, you're going to have this conversation possibly a few times. But there does seem to be an understanding that everybody's in the same boat, and that unlike other financial crises that we've seen, the fact that we really are all in this together is actually on your side. And that's not something that we...
That's a great point. Well taken. And we have just a few minutes left, and I have so many questions. But Ben, maybe in about a minute, is there anything people should be doing now if they're looking at that retirement account and seeing the downward lines, the up and down lines? What should people be doing if they're worried about their retirement?
Well, I think the first piece of information is for retirees to know that their Social Security is safe, And that even if you're on Social Security, you're still going to get the stimulus check, provided that you meet the income limits. Your Medicare is safe. So hopefully your basic needs will still be met. I think a lot of people saw the roughly 33% downturn in the stock market. And if you're relying on a 401k for income, you know, that's going to hurt. That hurt a lot of savers. But we saw a small bounce back. No one knows what's going to happen with the stock market. But if the economy does recover, the stock market will also recover. And in 2008, we saw that, where people who were patient and held on to their savings and didn't panic, they ended up being paid off in the end. But, you know, this is a tough time to be a retiree. And, you know, fortunately, you have your Social Security check coming in, and hopefully people have some savings to fall back on. But like everyone else, retirees are struggling right now, and that's not going to change in the near term.
Okay. And Annie, just in about 30 seconds, you know, the hardest part about all this is the uncertainty, I think. We don't know how long this is going to last. It would still be difficult. If we knew that this was only going to be a month, you know, it might feel more manageable. Just real briefly, what advice do you have when, you know, we don't know how long this is going to go?
Take advantage of this time to try to upgrade your human capital, as economists would say. I mean, this is a time. One great way to save a lot of money on your food bill is to learn to cook. And so if you don't know how to cook, this is a good opportunity to find some online tutorials. This is also a time to upgrade your work skills for when you go back. And there's so much available online for free. If you feel like you need better math skills, go to Khan Academy. If you feel like you need to upgrade your foreign language skills, go to Duolingo. But if you think that there's something that would help you be more marketable and help you upgrade your skills, some time to do it.
This is the time, Groundhog Day. You can learn to play the piano. We've been speaking with Annie Logue. She's a lecturer at the University of Illinois at Chicago, who's also written a number of books in the Four Dummies series, and Ben Harris, visiting professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. This is The 21st.